last Lord's Day, we asked the question, what caused the Apostle Peter to sink? As we note, he was the only disciple to get out of the boat and actually walk on water, as long as he was looking to the Lord. But when he saw the results of the wind, the tossed water, he became afraid, lost most of his faith, and began to sink. Thus, as he started concentrating on the problem rather than the Savior, the results were fear and doubt. And that can happen to us if we're not careful. So that was a great study for us all, was it not? Now, I thought it would be appropriate today, this Lord's Day, to continue a study of the Apostle Peter, as we want to focus in on his growth. As, of course, the Apostle Peter is the inspired writer of 1st and 2nd Peter, looking at how he grew should be very helpful to us all, because we need to have a proper view of the potential growth that we have, and obtaining that potential growth in Christ, of course, is extremely important. It's sad to say, far too many of us in the Lord's church are satisfied without spiritual growth, and thus, due to a limited vision as to the potential growth that we have, thus a lack of knowledge is also a problem in how to grow. So let's focus on the growth of the Apostle Peter, and we'll probably spend two sermons on this great study. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, and we all should be doing just exactly what that stands for, preparing for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we come together in our Bible classes. Well, of course, we're studying God's precious Word. And then as we come together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. That's worshiping God with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern which He has given us. Now, something else we want to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, please let us know and we'll set that up at your convenience. We look forward to those opportunities. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can write to us. Our address, again, is 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code, our office phone number. Area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, which has our bulletins and our radio sermons going back a number of years. That address is www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study concerning the growth of the Apostle Peter. Now, to begin with, we want to note John chapter 1, beginning in verse 40, and notice how Jesus saw great possibilities in Peter. John 1:40. One of the two which heard John speak, that would be John the Immerser, the forerunner to Christ, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now note, he, that would be Andrew, first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. That is a wonderful thing to do. Bring your brother to the Lord, as he did. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. So let's study now and learn how Peter grew spiritually towards the Lord. He did not grow in a day, and his growth certainly was not by accident. So we'll start with Mark chapter 1, 16 through 18. "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." So you see, they had already met, as we just read earlier in John 1. "For they were fishers, and Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." Peter began his growth towards the Lord when Jesus called him to follow him, to become a fisher of men, a fisherman of men. And so Peter's life had consisted of working with boats, mending nets, and catching fish. Nothing wrong with that. But Peter saw that there was more to life than working to catch fish. Ephesians 4:1, we note, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Well, have we understood the greatest vocation is to follow Christ? Have we taken that first step? What about us? Are we seeing that since life is a divine vocation, therefore we must follow Christ to have eternal life? Do we understand that life is not measured by the things that we possess? In Luke 12, verse 15, he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." That was our Lord stating that. So let's note what Peter started out in his growth. He responded when Jesus called him to follow him. And let us, of course, respond to the gospel call. If we have not done so already, why not today? Well, note the second step in Peter's growth towards the Lord was when he declared Jesus to be divine. Let's go to Matthew 16 now, starting with verse 13. "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist," John the Immerser, that is, "some Elias, the great prophet, others Jeremias," of course he was a great prophet, or "one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am?" Now that question is directed for the disciples to say whom they say that he is. Well, note verse 16, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." He was the son of Jonah. Note, "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell," Hades that would be, "shall not prevail against it." and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, that is. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The authority of an apostle. Well, Peter stated the truth. Now, others were mistaken about Jesus' true identity, but Peter had grown enough to see that Christ is divine, as he answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter was able to see that Jesus is more than a good man, and to understand that he is God's only begotten Son. He is God in the flesh. Emmanuel, that's what it means. God with us. Jesus built his church upon the rock of truth, that is Peter's confession, not upon Peter himself. The Catholic Church believes that, but they're mistaken, because Peter in the Greek is Petros, masculine gender, means a pebble. But Jesus said, "I will build my church upon this rock. I will build my church upon this rock." That is Petra, rock, feminine. It's a bedrock, large rock we're seeing here. And so we need to understand what Jesus said. He is going to build his church on the truth. Now, we need to know who Jesus really is. What about our view? Are we staying with what the Scriptures reveal? Or are we being misled by false teachers? Do we really understand that Jesus left heaven in order to become flesh so he could die for our sins? Philippians 2, 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do we appreciate who the Lord really is? But let's go on in our study of Peter's growth, as we see now in John 13. We'll turn over there and notice when Jesus gave a great lesson in humility. As Peter's next step in his growth towards the Lord was when he was taught a lesson on servitude, which would include, of course, being humble. Notice John 13, beginning in verse 6. "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Peter went from one extreme to the other, did he not? Well, Jesus saith to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean." Of course, referring to Judas Iscariot. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And again, we know that's referring to Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. So here is a great lesson where Peter's growth towards the Lord is going to profit by learning this lesson of servitude, as Peter was ashamed to have Jesus wash his feet. You see, this was a task that should have been done by someone there as they came into the room and reclined to eat. Of course, their feet would be dirty from being on the roads, dusty roads, wearing sandals. And this needed to be done before they would eat, having their feet close to someone's head as they're eating would not be pleasant. So it was a task that needed to be done, and the Lord took it upon himself to do this lowly task, but he's also teaching a great lesson on humility. And Peter and the other disciples received a great lesson on humility after they had discussed who's the greatest in the kingdom. But here's another one, as we see in this passage. Later, Peter would write by inspiration, 1 Peter 5:5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." So we need to appreciate this lesson on humility. Yes, this is not to be done as a part of some worship service where everybody is to wash everybody else's feet or something like that, because everybody would have clean feet knowing this is going to take place. That's not the purpose of this lesson. Their feet were dirty, and thus it was a task that needed to be done. And thus Jesus is teaching that. I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So take care of one another, excuse me, and needs that arise. So what about us? Are we humbly submitting ourselves before the Lord? Or are we too proud to humble ourselves before God? Even though God gave us his only begotten Son to die for us. You see, God has given us our life, yes, and bountiful physical blessings, but the greatest blessing of all was the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, and again, we asked, are we too proud to humble ourselves before God? Even knowing what God did for us? Well, notice Mark 7:21-23 here. Pride comes from within and defiles the man, along with other sins that are listed there. Remember, Satan, a fallen angel, because of pride. And he uses this avenue of temptation against us. Notice 1 Timothy 3:6. Here is a qualification for becoming an elder. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil, just as Satan did. And that's why he was cast out of heaven as a fallen angel, but he was allowed to tempt us, as we're in this kind of environment where we can be tested. But let us go on and notice another step in Peter's growth towards the Lord, and this would be John chapter 21 And this comes after Peter had denied Christ 3 times. Yes. This was, of course, after Jesus had been resurrected. And he meets with his disciples as you start out here in chapter 21. And you'll see that they're having a breakfast together as they cast the net into the right side of the ship, and they found a multitude of fishes. And so this passage here began, as we want to begin with verse 15, as this is after they had dined, you'll see that in verse 15. Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken of this, he saith unto him, follow me. Yes, this is Peter's next step in his growth towards the Lord when he was restored. He had denied Jesus 3 times. Now, he is to state that he loves the Lord 3 times. What's interesting here is the word love in the English is the same throughout the passage. But in the Greek, it's not. Jesus said, lovest thou me more than these? He said agape love. Agapu, the highest form of love, as the King James uses the word charity in 1 Corinthians 13. You see, Peter used the word phileo, brotherly love, as he said, I love thee. And the second time the Lord used agapu, but Peter again used phileo. And the third time, now Jesus uses phileo, and Peter, of course, continued with phileo as well. So that is what we need to understand. The level of love was lowered here. But Peter later on, as he would be martyred according to historical accounts, just as the Lord said, he's going to have a martyred type death, verse 18. So, how could Jesus have used Peter in the work of the Lord if he did not become restored? Yes, Peter learned that it is love that enables one for service. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, agape love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Because it will continue even in heaven. Faith and hope will be realized. So we need to learn that as well. What about our love for the Lord? Remember in John 14:15 what Jesus said? If ye love me, keep my commandments. Can we really say that we love the Lord and not keep His commandments? We would not be stating the truth, would we? So again, what about our love for the Lord? Bob Hawkins, you need to answer this question as well as anybody else. Am I keeping the commandments of the Lord? Notice what the inspired Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. That's right. Do we appreciate what Paul wrote? By inspiration, of course. In Revelation 2, 4 and 5, the letter to the church of Christ at Ephesus, Jesus said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Agape love is what is here in the Greek. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Well, again, Peter needed to be restored to continue his growth. What about us? Have we left serving the Lord faithfully? Are we no longer attending faithfully the services of the church? Are we becoming more interested in worldly things than spiritual matters? Well, could it be that we need to be restored? The second law of pardon would be, of course, to repent, just as we've seen with Peter, to confess our sins before God and pray for forgiveness. If this is public, we need to come before the congregation and state such. If it's private, we certainly can, of course, do that in a private setting. But if we have not obeyed the gospel as yet, we certainly need to do that to begin our growth in Christ. We have to answer the call of the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Do we believe that Jesus is the Christ? Have we repented of our sins and left a sinful life, changed our will to the will of God? Have we made the good confession, stating that I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God? Have we been immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and then be added to the body of Christ by the Lord Himself? Remember, Peter grew out of his ignorance and his weaknesses. He overcame his denial of Christ because Jesus was willing to forgive Peter and use him as a leader in the Lord's church. But what about our spiritual growth? Where are we at right now? We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel, and we thank you so much for listening today.